الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Dr. Hassan Amin. This program, or this Islamic Studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic Studies class is about to begin. By the way, I am unapologetic when it comes to authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Now, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. And by the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Now, throughout our life, many of us heard right from wrong, or know the difference between right and wrong, or doing what is right and forbidding what is wrong. And so I'm going to talk about today this simple thing of right and wrong from Islamic perspective. Let's open our Quran to chapter 91. Verse 8. That's chapter 91, verse 8. And in this particular chapter, it mentions very quickly, then with the knowledge of right and wrong, inspire it. Having the knowledge of what is right and having the knowledge of what is wrong is inspiring. Even to the point where we talk about a judge. When a judge judges, he or she listens to the evidence and decide what they think is right and what is wrong. Now, from the Islamic standpoint, I want you all to understand it. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that if a judge passes judgment, or a judge passes judgment and strives to reach the right conclusion and gets it right, he will have two rewards. If he strives to reach the right conclusion but gets it wrong, he will still have one reward. So for those judges, if you reach the right conclusion, okay, you get the two rewards. But you reach the wrong conclusion, you at the very least get one reward. And so do the best as you can as judges. Those who are judging or judge between two people, is that just get it as right as possible. Listen to both evidence, both people present, and then you make the best decision in the situation from given the evidence that was presented. And knowing that Allah knows your niyyah, Allah knows your intention. If you automatically, because the person is from your tribe, or this color skin, or whatever, and not the evidence, then you have to go before Allah and explain to Allah why you did what you did. Although Allah already knows, it may receive the punishment from Allah because you did it based on the person being from your tribe and not right, or the person have a particular skin color and not right. And so be careful about this, about what you say and what you do, because you are going to be judged on what you say and what you do and the conclusion that you reach and the reason for your conclusion. And we have one situation where it mentioned that, remember when Luqman said to his son while advising him, and he said, "Oh, my son, Never associate anything with Allah in worship. For associating others with Allah is truly the worst of all wrongs. And so we see from this, my beautiful students, is that this is the advice and the siha that that Lut gave to his son. And he said, never associate partners. This is the worst thing that we can do. Associated partners with Allah. This is the worst wrong that we can do, and we don't want to do that, ever to do that wrong. And the advice that Lut gave to his son, that's advice I'm taking myself and also giving to you, is that we do not associate partners with Allah, anyone with Allah, that this is the worst of all wrongs. This is the greatest wrong that a person can do. And the beautiful thing, and you can find that in chapter 31, verse 13. Again, chapter 31, verse 13. And you can quickly turn to it now, or you can read it for yourself. And please understand that the only text that is required for this class is Quran. You can either buy one, or you can go online and get one, or you can go to the nearest place of Muslim place of worship, and they may give you one. Or you can even go online and do and get it for free at Quran.com. That is Quran.com, C-O-M. And you can just follow along with me, and you can read the Quran at any time. It's not any place. Like, for example, you can't read it in the bathroom. A place of what they call sometimes a wash closet. You can't read it there, but you can read it at any time. And don't wait for the class to read Quran and get the knowledge of the Quran just by waiting for the weekly class. You can get it at other times. And the Quran is not that difficult to understand because it's for anybody, the average person, most intelligent person, or the person who may be a little bit figure that they might be a little bit weak-minded or whatever, they can still read it, and Allah can inspire, and you can get something from it, and ask Allah, oh Allah, give me some clear evidence from Quran, or a lesson from Quran, ilm from Quran, not from Quran. You can ask Allah for this, and Allah may open your heart and give you the understanding of what you're reading. So it's another verse in the Quran, in chapter 3, verse 110. That's chapter 3, verse 110. And it's a beautiful voice of a verse that it mentions, is that you are the best community ever raised up. You encourage good, forbid evil, and believe in Allah. Had the people of the book believed, it would have been better for them. Some of them are faithful, but most are rebellious. So you have to be careful about some people that may say that they are followers of Allah, but they may be people who are not faithful people. But you have to understand, and you want Allah to raise you up to being one among those people that would encourage good and forbid the evil and believe in Allah. Those are the people that you want to be among. That's each and every one of us. We want to be with those people. And of course, that's including you and including me. And then it also mentioned in the hadith, I say in the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, where he mentioned an ayah in Quran, a verse in the Quran, and this is going to be verse 5. I'm sorry, chapter 5, verse 105. Again, that's chapter 5, verse 105. Hopefully you all be able to turn to that and follow along with me. And understand, this is like a rough translation of the Arabic, because Quran came in Arabic. That's the original Quran. That's where it came in. Got your various interpretations or translation of Quran. Might be in Spanish, Urdu, French, all other languages. But the original language And sometimes people don't always get it right in translating it, and that is to, as the Arabic language. And so let me move on. And so it says that, it says this was narrated by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, who is the prophet's, he was the first Khalifa of Islam, the leaders after the prophet died. Also, he was the prophet Muhammad, his father-in-law. He was married to his daughter, which is Aisha radiallahu anha. I'm sorry. And so, and mentioned, O people, you recited this verse. Or he mentioned, O people, you recited this verse. O you who believe, take care of your own selves. If you follow the right guidance and enjoying what is right, meaning Islamic monotheism and all that Islam orders one to do, and forbid what is wrong, meaning polytheism, disbelief, and all that Islam has forbidden, no hurt can come to you from those who are in error. And then he went on to say, I heard the Prophet Muhammad, or the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing upon him, he said, if the people see an evildoer and do not stop him, soon Allah will send his punishment upon them. There's evil all around us. We know that the evil has increased. Yesterday, evil has increased manyfold. People are becoming more and more evil. And you all know what I'm talking about. You see evil done, you see evil people, and you don't say anything. Allah will do what? Allah will send his punishment upon them all. So if you see an evil, you want to correct it. As I mentioned to you before, when a wrong is being done, then you correct it what? You correct it with your hands. If you cannot do that, difficult to do, then you correct it. You say something with your tongue. And that's difficult to do, to say something with your tongue. At the very least, hate it in your heart. What you see someone, see from evil that's being done. And Allah understands this. And the Prophet understood it. He said, you see it, change it with your hands. You see it, you can't do it with your hands, then you say something about it. And if you see something being done evil, then at the very least, you hate it in your heart. And so I want to remind us of, you're talking about right and wrong, and seeing evil done, and don't do anything about it. Not even hate it in your heart. And hating it in your heart is the lowest form of faith. It's faith, but it's the lowest form of faith. And so Abu Huraira, he also said that the Messenger of Allah, with peace be upon him, he said, seek refuge with Allah from poverty, with want and humility, and from wrongdoing others or being wronged. We ask Allah, we seek refuge in Allah from these many things. And this was Abu Huraira. He said, you know, you're going to seek refuge, then seek refuge. This was said by the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. Seek refuge in Allah in these things. And that is, you seek refuge in Allah from poverty, being poor, from want, from humiliation, and from wronging others or being wronged. So we want to get as far away from that as possible. And how do we do that? Is that we ask Allah to watch over us, and ask Allah to keep this away, this kind of thing away from us. And this is what we want to do. Let me talk about another wrong that we should ask Allah to keep away from, or keep away from us. Abu Huraira, the same person, he narrated that the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing be upon him, he said, may Allah have mercy upon his servant. This is the Prophet Muhammad said, may Allah have mercy upon the servant who has wronged his brother in his honor, his wealth. Then he comes to him to seek his pardon before his right is taken. And when he has no dinar, it's a type of money, or no dirham, also sort of type of money, then if he has any rewards, it will be taken from his reward. And if he have no rewards, then some of his brother's bad deeds will be levied upon him. Let me explain it in this way. You're talking about the day of judgment when we think that we're going to the paradise, but we have wronged a person, even their honor, or did something with their wealth, or some kind of way we dishonored a person. And this person is going to get it back. And on the day of judgment, this person that you wronged, his wealth, his honor, or something like that, they may come to make the scales equal or even. They may take from your good deeds. And what will also happen when you run out of good deeds, you may start collecting their bad deeds to make the scales even and better for them, because you dishonored them or you did something and took away the person's wealth. And so be careful about that. You think you may be getting away, but you're not getting away with anything. We also have to be careful for those of us who are what you would call the merchants, particularly in the marketplace or not in the market, and you cheat people. You put your finger on the scale and make the scale go up higher, and then you charge the people that have less, but you charge them more money. Or you give them less, and you charge them more money. You think you're getting away with it, but you're not getting away with it, because the angel on your left shoulder is writing down that bad deed that you've done. And then on the day of judgment, you had taken away this person a wealth from them, or did something with their wealth. And then so you may think that you're going to go to paradise straightway, but you end up having this big pile of good deeds, and Allah start taking from those good deeds and giving it to the person you wronged on that day when you put your finger on the scale. Or you gave a person 7 and giving them 5 oranges, for example, you gave them 3. You're not getting away with anything at all. You could correct this wrong in some kind of way, correct this wrong. Or if you sinned, then you correct. How do you correct a sin or erase a sin? Is that the person erases a sin, a bad deed, with doing something good. That's how one erases the sin, or get rid of a sin. You just replace it with something good, and we all are advised to do that before the day of judgment come, before our Lord. You may smile that your pockets are getting fat or bigger, and your bank account getting bigger, and because you cheat people all the time, but you're not getting away with anything, because Allah keeps score. Allah know what you're doing. An angel writing down in your book, because we all have a book, and write down in your book your bad deeds that you've done on such and such a day at such and such a time, and you will be questioned about it. You may think you got that smooth tongue and you can get away with it, but on that day you won't have any control of your tongue. Allah put basically a kind of a shield around you and him, and then he questioned you and asked your tongue to speak for or against you, or your eyes to testify for or against you what you saw, or your hands to testify what you did, ears what you heard, feet where you went. And so you're not getting away with anything. And you may say, ha, 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 I don't know. I don't believe you, Imam, at all, Dr. Amin. Okay, you don't have to believe me. I'm not asking you to believe you. Believe me. I'm not forcing you to believe me. I'm just telling you what it says from Islam or Islamic belief. And then wouldn't you want to at least be fearful or why you want to take a chance of this happening to you and getting your good deeds taken away and bad deeds piled against you. Why do you want to take such a chance when you can't do anything? When people may ask, they say, oh Allah, let me go back and do good. Let me go back and do a do-over. But there's no do-overs. Once you cross over to the barzakh, there's no coming back to this life and correcting things. Matter of fact, there's an ayah in the Quran that talks about if we sent them back, they're going to do the same thing all over again. They're not going to, no change in them. And so be careful. You want to be other them that do good deeds and do the right, not them that do the wrong deeds and do the wrong. So it was also mentioned my beautiful students, and that is, it was mentioned by one of the Prophet's companions, may peace and blessing be upon the Prophet. He said, "Do not be a people without a will of your own," saying, if people treat us well, we will treat them well. And if they do wrong, we will do wrong. But accustom yourself to do good if people do good, and do not behave unjustly if they do evil. So some people say, I'm going to get even with him, I'll get even with her. That's not what we're supposed to be all about. Be a person that is accustomed to do what? Accustomed to good, to doing good, and do not behave unjustly if they do evil. They do evil, okay, that's on them. That's on their scale. Ask Allah to give you patience and sabr, and Allah is a law with those who are patient. And Allah, ask Allah to protect you from any other evil from this individual. But they do evil to you, I'm going to do evil to them. That sort of thing, that's not part of the Islamic way in the faith of Islam. And no Muslim should do that. Or a person trying to do good to do that. If you should try to do good and accustom ourselves to doing good and staying away from evil. And this next one I want to read to you, it was one that is very, really, it brought tears to my eyes saying this emotionally, this particular one, because we, all of us have parents. You don't have parents, okay? I don't get into all that, but we have parents. And this one hadith is a beautiful one, a saying from the Prophet Muhammad, a saying from Ibn Umar. He said this. He said, making parents weep is part of disobedience. And one of the major actions, or the major wrong actions. So we want to stay from making our parents cry. You see your parents cry because something you did or you said, I don't want to talk to you. I don't have anything to do with you. Slam the door in your parents' face. Whatever you do to hurt your parents, to make them weep, don't do it. Because this is a major wrong, that action that we're doing to our parents. We should lower the wing of humility to our parents. We don't even say oof to our parents, like get out of my face kind of thing. We don't want to even do that to our parents that watch over us, that care for us, that raise us to the best of our ability. No, we didn't have everything that we wanted, but they gave you what you needed and what they could provide for you. And even if they didn't give to you, you don't wrong them or try to hurt them. They did this to you, so you're going to be evil towards them. And so you don't want them to weep, because it should be. We still have that connection to our parents. And so you should feel something if your parents are crying. Again, Ibn Umar said, making parents weep is part of disobedience. and one of the major wrong actions. And I'm going to leave that there. You've been listening to Islamic Faith in Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Dr. Hassan Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.